I got the privilege of sitting at David's dinner table with he and Miss Amy and talking about this scripture. And I told Brother David at that point in time, I really wanted to preach this sermon. And it was strange because Brother David was the one who was getting to preach that sermon. Well, what I didn't realize was we're both preaching this sermon because it was during that week after I had heard Brother David's sermon and knowing that we were coming into confirmation that the Lord spoke to my heart and said, now you get to speak on confirmation and what this scripture speaks of confirmation and how knowing me does have confirmation consequences. You know, we hear in the church so often, the gift of salvation is free. Do you all agree with that? Amen. It's completely and totally free. It is for the faith in believing that we receive a gift that we do not deserve, that a price for us was paid that we could never pay, and that for a love that we should never be loved with was given to us freely, and that through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you look at the second half of my sermon title, it says salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. And that's a reality that our world doesn't want to hear. That's one of the reasons so many people have a hard time coming to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because they know they're going to have to give something up. They're going to have to give up their sin. We have to give up our sin. Do you know that's why God took Israel through the desert? Was to teach them about Him and to bring them to that place that they were finally willing to lay down all their stuff and take what He wanted them to have. And that's where we've been, is journeying through the desert. And we're going to continue journeying through the desert to learn God's principles, to learn God's precepts, and to be confirmed into His presence. And with that confirmation comes consequence. Turn in your scriptures, as I said here, to chapter 25, verses 1 through 8. And Brother David already preached on these, but I want to reiterate them in a different venue. It says, the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring to me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. These are the offerings you are to receive. Now, this is amazing to me. When I start looking at this, and I hope you see this too, if God says to bring me an offering, does it matter what you bring? Absolutely, it matters what you bring. God tells us what to bring. God is the one who is in charge of everything. But wait a minute, if I'm bringing an offering, shouldn't I get to bring whatever I want and that should be good enough? What happened to Cain and Abel? Abel brought that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Cain didn't. And Cain's offering was rejected. This lends us to believe that these guys knew what they should have been bringing, but one figured, well, I'm going to bring what I have rather than what God wants. And God says, no, I don't want what you have. I want what I want. Who's in charge? God is. There is consequence in confirming our faith with a holy God. So He speaks to Israel, and He says, tell them to bring these offerings. For you to receive from them gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, and hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and breastplate. Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. God was telling Israel what they had to bring. I want these specific items. And if you look at all those items, as Brother David told you, all those items were the things that they plundered Egypt with, right? The Egyptians actually came out and gave them these things, and they took them with them. Now, many of you may not realize this, but the world has given you things too, all right? Egypt has given you things. From the time you were little and you were watching Bugs Bunny, And all of you sitting here in front of me now, except for the young people, know who Bugs Bunny was. Bugs Bunny, Roadrunner, Coyote, you know, all those good old time cartoons. You know, today we have Power Rangers and Mutant Ninja Tomatoes and, you know, good Lord knows what they're teaching our kids today. But even in the Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner, we learned violence. That coyote never died. But boy, did he go through, excuse me, hell. All right? And it became a way of life. And we began to learn these things. We were programmed. The world has given us things. And it's that programming that God wants us to give back unto Him. Because those things are not right. Those things are the entrapments that will entangle us. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. Israel received here a whole bunch of gold, a whole bunch of wealth. They had never had wealth before. Think about this. These are people who were slaves. They had no material possessions. And all of a sudden, they had gold. And they had frankincense. And they had silver. And they had bronze. And they had all this beautiful, luxurious cloth and clothing and furs and skins and all this stuff out of Egypt. And God said to them, this stuff is trappings to you. Give it to me, and I'm going to turn it into something holy. And Brother David told you that. That's the exact same thing that happens in our lives. Now, why did God ask these people for that stuff? Because He was confirming in them their faith. Because confirmation has consequence. In confirming our faith with God, God asks us to give up certain things. For some of us, we've had to give up alcohol. For some of us, we've had to give up smoking. For some of us, we've had to give up. And you can put anything in there you need to put in there, and you all know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you have given up more than one thing, 10 things, 20 things, 30 things over time. Because as we grow, God changes the consequence. Okay? Because as we grow, we can give Him more of the things that have been the trappings that we continue to carry all along. For myself, that's why I said to me, this weekend was really a blessing. I spoke to my son just last night. And I told him, I said, you know, before, when I was in Egypt, I would go hunting and I would tell my family as I would go hunting, oh, I need to get away. That's my time. That's my time. I need to get away. That's my time. That's my time. I started a new church. No, God started a new church. You got it? God started a new church. And He said, now, minister, I want you to confirm your faith. And there's a consequence. I want you to give me your time. Huh? Give me your hunting. God, I did that years ago. Yep, and I gave it back to you, and you made it yours again. You didn't make it mine. What? He said, give me your hunting. He said, I want you to open your life up to the men of the church. He said, give me your fishing. I want you to open your life up to the church. I want you to take the men with you. I want you to teach them my love. I want you to show them what you see when you're out there. I want you to introduce them to the God of your faith as only you can. Here's your confirmation consequence, Pastor. Confirm with me, because we don't confirm with anybody else our faith. We confirm with God our faith. So I took a bunch of men fishing with me a couple times, and I reluctantly began taking guys hunting. And I actually shared with you guys, all of you. You were at the table with me when I shared communion with you. And what did I say? I was scared, didn't I? Because in me giving that portion of my life, I was laying bare before you all that I am. You get to see everything that I am. The last little piece of me that I kept for me, God said, no, give it to me and allow me to give that back to the people that you love. I'm going to take that thing that you've been selfish with and I'm going to make it holy. I came home from the mountains this week with two of my brothers, and we were gracious enough to harvest an animal. And the awesome thing is that animal that was harvested is right now being processed to go to a soup kitchen. And my heart is as light as a feather. I know a joy, a depth, because the whole time we were there, we talked about God. We shared one another's faith. We talked about the hard things. We talked about our wives. No gossip. This is real stuff. We got to work on this. Chisels and hammers. And God turned what I always used to pull away from you. Do you hear me? God turned what I've always used to pull away from you and separate from you and find my rest, my peace, what I thought was peace, into something far greater. Because I came home rejuvenated. I came home alive inside, wanting to share even more of who I am and what I am. You see, confirmation has consequence. And as you are asked to confirm your faith, and you are going to be asked throughout time, God is going to say, I want you to share this. I want you to share this. I want you to share this. Give it to me, and I'm going to turn it into something holy. Not that you're going to keep it, but that you're going to open it up, that everybody else is going to be able to see it. And from that, you're going to be set free from it. And I'm going to turn that which was dark and dank and ugly and secret into something holy. God says in his Bible, turn with me if you will to Luke in the 14th chapter. God says in his scripture that it's going to cost us something. And so many people aren't willing to look at what God has to say. We want it our way. I'm sorry, this is not a fast food restaurant religion. This is God's family. This is his house, his kingdom. He is God. He is the master. He is the maker. He is the one who sets the rules. He is the one who guides and creates and brings all things into being. And if we're going to walk with him, we need to understand his word, what he says to us, and his purposes for them. From chapter 14, verses 28 through 33, we read these words. This is the Lord Jesus speaking to us. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. How much does he just ask for?
Everything.
Did that sink in? Everything. There are confirmation consequences in our lives. God wants everything. And when we give him the muck and the mire of our lives, and I want you to think about this, because what are the things that we keep? The things that we keep are the muck and the mire. The things that we think they have great value. We think that, oh, I can't give that away. Oh, my goodness, if I give that away, oh. And God says, you don't realize you're trapped by that thing. You are so trapped by that thing that you can't even see that you're trapped. And he says, give it to me. Give it to me. I'm going to redeem it. I'm going to make it holy. I'm going to turn it around, turn it upside down. And you will control it. It won't control you. And it'll bring glory to my name. I'm going to tell you a story. This is a true story. I won't tell you a name, but I'm going to tell you a true story. 3 weeks ago, I took these guys to my holy mountain. We went hunting. When I went there, I knew I was going to be calling on a family that lives on that mountain. The husband was being accused of being in adulterous and homosexual sin. I sat down at the table. Now, the husband didn't know I knew. The husband didn't know that the wife had found out. And that night, it was a Tuesday night, as the wife says, I burnt the chair out from under him. If you understand religious talk, what I did was I evangelized that man and I just let no holds barred. I let the light of Christ shine through me like it's never shone before. I called sin, sin. I called darkness, darkness. I called the evil one out right there in front of everybody. And when we prayed that night at the end of the evening, I prayed with all my heart because these people mean so much to me. I love them so much because they literally live on the mountain where God called me to ministry. They literally live at the place where I've invited these men to come and find the God that I know. My Mount Sinai. And the priest of Melchizedek's family was in need of help. And I poured out everything I had. I shone the light of Jesus Christ in me as I've never shown it before. And what ended up happening that night, that gentleman received the Holy Spirit for the first time in his life. He said, as I prayed, he realized everything that I had preached that night, all about the adultery, all about the darkness in our world, all about the putrid things that our world says is okay, and the pornography and the lasciviousness and the pervasion that is our world. I was talking about him. A week later, I got a phone call from the wife. She said to me, Pastor, you're not going to believe what happened. And as soon as she said that, I knew my prayer was answered. That young man came to realize his sin. He not only offered it up to his wife, but he offered it up to God. He told me that night when you were praying, he said, Pastor, when you took my hand, he said, I felt a power coming through my arm that I couldn't escape. He said, and all of a sudden I realized everything you had just said. He said, it was as if you were punching me left and right. He said, my guts hurt. He said, I've never cried in my life when I prayed. He said, I cried for 3 days. I realized I was a worm. And that man now stands before God justified, sanctified, saved. Because he was willing to confess and come into the light and truly undergo his confirmation. He's always called himself a Christian. He was truly willing to undergo confirmation consequences, where when we truly are confirming before the world and before ourselves that we are God's children, that we must allow him to tell us what he wants us to give him. And when we give it to him, he's going to turn it around, turn it upside down, and turn this unholy, hellacious thing in our lives into a righteousness and a holiness that only God can do. This man was not in a homosexual relationship, praise Jesus, but he was in a very, very, very depraved state looking at pornography for hours. I'm talking hundreds of hours. He's gotten himself hooked up with a Christian church. He is visiting with a pastor, going through counseling. He is telling everyone he can about the shame that was there. He would come home, and he said to me when he called me the other day, he said, Rich, you don't understand it. He said, I hated to go home. He said, those people were happy, and I was wondering, what do you have to be so happy about? Why do you think the world hates us? Why do you think the world looks at us as strange and weird? Because we're walking around in the midst of this darkness, and we're happy. We're grateful that God loves us, and it's okay. Because they are so stuck in guilt and shame. And I'm going to tell you right now, each and every one of you has a place of guilt and shame in your own lives that God is going to speak to you over these next weeks and months as we're going through the desert. And he's going to say, now, I want that guilt and shame because I want to turn it into joy and gladness. And the only way we're going to do that is to come under this reality that God has said, do you want to count the cost? To follow me means to give up everything that you're hiding. To give up all the stuff that you're secretly playing with. And to bear it before God and in it to allow him to turn it into something righteous and holy. That's a hard place to be, isn't it? That calls for trust. That calls for sanctification, justification. It calls for a transformed life. Because confirmation has consequence. I look at these young people that just came into the church today. I read their exams. I was actually going to read portions of them today to you, but I thought, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to embarrass them. Because though you don't know who wrote what, you know one of the four did. And I thought that wouldn't be right. So I'm going to keep that, and that will remain between me and the elders, and it'll never go anywhere else. Because who they were really talking to was God the Father. They were confessing themselves unto him. And the neat thing is, in the confession, in the writing it down, they have begun the process of confirmation consequences in confirming and standing fast in what God can do and what God will do, what God needs to do, what you have to allow him into, and what you need to sanctify yourself with. You all here today have shown some portions of this. But if I walk down each row and I asked, is there something you need to lay before God? How many of you in this room would say nothing? Today, I'm asking you, will you confirm your love for God? Finally, set yourselves free. Turn this stuff over. We need to get rid of Egypt. And the only way we'll do that is to truly allow God the offering of our everything, and he will set us free. I don't care if it's anger. I don't care if it's pornography. I don't care if it's drinking. I don't care if it's disrespecting your parents. I don't care what it is. And, you know, I could, like I said, I could go down the list. And you all know it. It's your list. But if we do, God guarantees us one thing. That if we walk in the truth will set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. It'll have no hold over you. When Israel walked, when we walk, we need to be free. What does Hebrews say? Let us throw off everything entangles and the sin, and let us run the race with perseverance to win the prize for which we have been called heavenward in Christ Jesus. Folks, confirming your faith Walking in your faith, being real in your faith, has consequences. But the reality is, you get the gift of freedom if you're willing to walk it. Are you willing to walk it? Because if you are, the gift's here today. I'm opening the altar as Miss Sally and I lead you into the end of our worship. And if you have something you need to lay at His feet, if God's laying something on your heart, I'm going to ask the elders, because I don't know if any of them might have something. I'm asking any and everyone, and this includes Miss Sally. So if the piano stops playing, just keep singing. But we need to realize one thing. God's in the house. The church is open. And this offering is being received. Would you give to God what God wants and become a holy people?